You're listening to SBS News.
This weekend has marked 72 years since the start of the Korean War, in which 17,000 Australians served in Korea between 1950 and 1953. Over 17,000 Australians in the Army, Royal Australian Navy and Royal Australian Air Force served in Korea during the Korean War. 340 Australians died, over 1,200 were wounded, and 30 became prisoners of war. According to the Department of Veterans Affairs, an estimated 1,650 Korean War veterans are still alive in Australia as of June 2022. It is believed that the average age of living veterans is over 90. For 89-year-old Johnny Bynum, enlisting in the Korean War is more than just a memory.
It was a great adventure until, of course, you got thrown into the firing line, and it wasn't such a great adventure. But even then, I loved the Army. I liked it. And in fact, when the war finished, I didn't like it at all, because during the war, everyone's got a job, you're doing what you need to do, and that fills up all your space. And suddenly, when it's suddenly all taken away from you, then there's all the rules and regulations all come back in again. But I had a lot of growing up to do.
Australia was among the first countries involved. HMAS Bataan and HMAS Shoalhaven began escorting US troop ships to the southern port city of Busan from the 1st of July 1950, while No. 77 Squadron RAAF began their first ground support operations over the peninsula the next day. And in late September, the 3rd Battalion of the Royal Australian Regiment arrived at Busan and joined the 27th British Commonwealth Brigade. At the Battle of Cap Yong, an Australian battalion teamed up with Canadian forces to defeat a Chinese division and prevented it from taking Seoul. Both battalions were awarded US Presidential Unit citations. At the age of 18, Mr. Bynum left home to join the Army, and he provided his age as 22, avoiding the need for parental consent. Once he arrived to the city of Busan in South Korea, the reality of war was a far cry from the adventure he had dreamed of.
People making their homes out of cardboard boxes and things like that, bits of iron and what have you. But you could look and you'd hardly see a two-story building. Korea's called the land of the morning calm. Well, it was anything but calm at the time.
The war veteran was one of the few remaining members of the New South Wales Korean War Veterans Association, which closed last year due to impacts of death, illness and old age. Often referred to as the Forgotten War, the association has made sure its legacy lives on. The association decided to donate its remaining funds to the UN Memorial Cemetery in Busan, including the 281 graves of Australian soldiers who have never returned home.
These days are important, you know. It is important to commemorate or remember, you know. And if you don't, and it's another way. Look, it's just a way of making physical something that's historical. And all these things ultimately will go into the Australian psyche. You know, there's no, at the moment it goes back to the to the Boer War and the First World War, and very much the Second. But the conflicts like Korea and Uganda and Afghanistan, these will ultimately, in their own time, become part of the Australian psyche as well.
The conflict started in 1950 when communist North Korean troops launched a surprise attack across the 38th parallel into South Korea. US-led United Nations forces battled Chinese and Soviet-backed North Korea, in which 3 million soldiers and civilians were killed and 5 million became refugees. The Korean War ended roughly where it started, near the 38th parallel. The armistice signed on July 27, 1953, stipulated that both sides withdraw their forces to form a demilitarized zone. The zone remains the world's most heavily fortified frontier, with about 1 million troops stationed on each side. Australians Debbie and John Munro are in Korea to attend anniversary commemorations. Debbie is the daughter of John Munro, who served in the Korean War. They are in Seoul, but John tested positive to COVID-19, so they were limited to their hotel room for the time being.
Well, we've waited 2 years to be able to do this together. 2 years ago, we were accepted. to come to the Revisit Career program that the government here pays for the veterans, and shouts half of our fare to come over. So to finally get here and have such a wonderful day yesterday, to get the news this morning just before, to get onto the bus to go and commemorate the 72nd anniversary, it was just heartbreaking.
Well, this is my fourth visit, but I've seen it before, but it was very disappointing, the fact that I bought them, so she could see actually how these people treat us and do what they do for us, and we couldn't make it this morning. But we'll be able to go to the cemetery tomorrow.
Because unfortunately, Dad only had this a month ago, so we're trying to stay positive that maybe this might be a false positive.
President of the Korean Veterans Association of Australia, John Munro, is one of just four Australians formally invited by the Korean government to participate in commemorations this weekend. The ceremony in Seoul saw a turnout of around 1,500 people, including foreign veterans, government and military officials. Korean Prime Minister Han Duck-soo expressed his gratitude to the veterans of the Korean War and pledged to protect the Korean Peninsula in its path toward peace and prosperity. Commemorations will continue to take place across Australia, with a wreath-laying service to take place next month in Melbourne. For remaining veterans like Mr. Bynum, the message is clear.
Freedom is never given to you. Yeah, freedom is something you have to fight for. Whether it's political freedom, religious freedom, or freedom for religion, no matter what it is, it has to be fought for.
Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.